Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sama sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sama sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sama sambuddhassa. In the last Dhamma talk, we were discussing about once you have reached the Sankharupaka Jnana, insight into the knowledge of equanimity. One has to keep on going. One has to keep on going. And while you keep on going, there's a few things that can sidetrack you or misdirect you. One thing is while you're practicing there, not all the time, not everybody, occasionally someone might experience so-called cessation of mind and matter. And when they experience that, they believe that they have reached the Arya domain. That is, sometimes people think and they believe and that's where they stop. But last week we talk about in details how this cessation of mind and matter could be mistaken. Some samatha practitioner at a very high level, because they have suppressed the mental defilement so deep and far, there's not a trace, it seems like not a trace of mental defilement. And they believe they have reached the Arya domain. And also when you go into a certain state of deep meditation level, it seems like cessation of mind and matter. Or at least that is what they say. We don't know for sure, but we have not found anywhere in the Buddhist scripture to back that claim up. And in the lower level, especially around Udiyabhya Jnana, insight knowledge of arising and passing away, around that zone, people might go into a very light zones of thought, slip away, and it's felt like you are in a cessation of mind and matter. But actually it's a very subtle thought drift away. And also in the third is when you got into this insight into equanimity, you experience that. Because at this stage, the person has a very strong concentration power. Because of that, sometimes it slips into somewhat similar to cessation of mind and matter. But that's not the case. And that is where it's most dangerous. You might think so, and you might not put much effort. And real cessation of mind and matter only arise at the stage of stream winner. Once you have attained the Sotapatti Mega Jnana, at that time you will acutely experience the cessation of mind and matter. And also we discuss about your attitude towards the way one should view towards the levels of insights related to your attainment or achievement. Those are little things quite helpful. Sometimes that can really strengthen you and stay there for a long time. So the key thing is, at that point, one has to keep on practicing, because you're very close to the final goal. Very close to the final goal. One had to keep on practicing without giving up. Keep on striving to reach the goal. So what is the goal? The goal is final goal, of course, is Nibbana, which is where all physical and mental suffering is totally eliminated and extinguished. And you experience this Nibbana at many various levels. Once you enter into the domain of Ariya, or noble person, there are, in detail, is 8 levels or 8 types of Ariya. But in general, you can call it 4. Okay, the first one is stream enterer, Sotapanna. And second one is once returner, Sakadami. And the third one is non-returner, Anagami. And the fourth one is Arhata. Arhata is totally escape from the rounds of suffering and rounds of birth and death. That's the final life. Those are the 4 stages. But whenever you reach to that one stage, let's say the lowest level, once you have reached that stage and once you have been settled into it, there are 2 things. One is called Megha. Megha is a path consciousness. Path consciousness arises only once. And you are forever that you have lived. You have never experienced that kind of consciousness. And this path consciousness only arises once. It arises and disappears. And that's it. That never arises again. So along with that path consciousness, you have a wisdom or insight. That wisdom or insight is called Megha Jnana, path wisdom or path insight. And that wisdom or insight eliminate or destroy a certain level or a certain degree of mental defilements. That's what it does. And once you got there, at that level, your object of meditation is not Nama and Rupa anymore. Okay, not Nama and Rupa. The object of meditation is, if you're at that level, is Nibbana. Nibbana, that is the object that you take. And then you practice. So let's go the first one. The first one is Sotapatti Megha. When you experience that path consciousness, okay, it arises and passed away. And right after that, you call Phala. Phala is fruition consciousness. In other words, this is your reaping the result of what you sow. Okay, Phala consciousness. And whenever the first stage, when you reach this path consciousness, it destroyed or eliminate a certain mental defilements. Specifically, for the first level, it destroy totally, what do you call, deity, the wrong view. The wrong view means you do not have the wrong view about self or the wrong view about nama and rupa. Before this nama and rupa, this mind and matter self, we always identified as me, I, myself. Okay, that's something. Okay, some may claim up to the point of soul or spirit. Some still identify with big ego, these kind of things, because that is the understanding or the concept of self. But once you reach that first path consciousness, that wrong view is totally destroyed. At that point, you never take it as me, my, I, or a self, or a soul, or a spirit. Personality concepts gone, individuality concepts gone, a concept of a being is gone, and you simply see this nama and rupa. Nama is the body or physical process. This that is rupa. Rupa is the physical process, the body. You simply know this is simply a physical phenomenon and operation. And then nama, the mind, before it is me, my, I. But now you clearly understand this is simply a mental phenomenon, mental processes operating on its own. That's how you understand. When you understand that, does not simply understand. It is, that is 100%. Felt that way, operate that way, live that way. There's no if or but. Full understanding of physical phenomenon and mental phenomenon as it is. Called samadhi. Samadhi, the right view or the correct view. That person has destroyed dhiti, the wrong view of self, and you have the samadhi, correct view of the nature of mind and matter. That's one thing. And then another one is called it destroy vicikicca, doubt. Okay, doubt means we already know what's this vicikicca, doubt is. Doubt in the Buddha, doubt in the Dharma, doubt in the Sangha, and doubt in the law of karma, karma vipaka. So there is no doubt in the Buddha anymore. No doubt in the Dharma, what he has taught us before. And no doubt in the Sangha. Sangha in here is referred more of the Arya Sangha. Okay, the monks who have attained this noble lineage, there's no doubt in it. And also, you clearly understand and embrace how this law of karma operates. When one truly believes in the law of karma, okay, simply put, you do good things, good results happen, bad things, bad results happen. And when you truly embraced it, that person never do any bad thing anymore. So that's it. There is samadhi, the right view is attained. And also vicikicca is eliminated. And never ever practice any other system, okay, or methods. Okay. Other system or method which does not contain Eightfold Noble Path. Of course, loosely said, you don't. There are some practices they try to act like dogs or animals, or and so on and so forth, or sacrifice animals and so on. These kind of things, there's no such thing anymore. They don't believe. The only thing they practice is one that contain Eightfold Noble Path. the practice become quite pure. Those are the things. And then one more thing is they have eliminated all mental defilements. Okay? Lobha, dosa, moha. Okay, all mental defilements. But one need to understand very clearly all mental defilements that can take you down to the four woeful states. Not every little traces of mental defilements. It is the mental defilements that can bring you down to the four woeful states. In other words, you don't do anything that can bring you to, literally put to hell, or that will bring you about so that you will be reborn in the animal's kingdom, or that will make you reborn in the hungry ghost realm, and also that will bring you about to be reborn in the demonic realm. Those are the four woeful states. And one will never ever commit anything that can bring about the rebirth in these four woeful states. That's another one. In other words, what it means is that person will never commit, never break the five precepts. Okay. Five precepts are the one that will make you reborn in these four woeful states. And also, when we say you don't break or you don't commit these five precepts, they don't have to try hard at all. Okay? They don't have to restrain yourself. They don't have to restrict yourself. They don't have to take precepts. What happened was, at that stage, as a noble person, the first stage of noble person, the negative mental states that's related to these five precepts, these mental states cannot arise in that person anymore. Okay, there is no place in that person's mind that these kind of thoughts can arise. You never ever think about it. Okay, to put in a simple one thing, you're a doll, you have a big feet, and you never think about putting that feet in about 2 inches or 3 inches shoes where the baby wear. You will never think about putting it. Just like that. Thoughts about committing or breaking related to those things could not arise in the mind of that person. Because of that, they will never be reborn. And the next one is, once you reach to that level, okay, to that stage, the first stream enterer, maximum you will be reborn for 7 lifetimes. That's a maximum. It could be shorter than that. Let's say you become a stream enterer and then you forgot about it in the next life, or you were born in the Deva realm and so on. You forgot about practicing the Dharma anymore, enjoying your really good life. You can stay for another 6 lives, but on the 7th, automatically that Dharma keep back up to you and you practice and you will attain arahantship on the 7th. But it could be on the 1st, it could be on the 2nd, but maximum is 7 lifetimes. And this 7 lifetimes too, it is in the realms of sensual realm. It could be in the human realm or it could be in the Deva realm. That's it. Deva realm or human realm. You will be reborn 7 times. And after that, will attain arahantship. So that is the first goal. The first goal as a Buddhist. And till you reach that goal, one must not stop practicing. Okay. And secondly, the next level is Sagadagami. Sagadagami. Sagadagami is called a once returner. Once returner is once you have reached that stage, okay, you die and you reborn. You will reborn one more time in the human realm or in the Deva realm. That's a sense realm. Okay. When we say seven life, it will be in the sense realm. When you say one returner, it will be in the sense realm. It will be reborn one more. And what happened was, at this second stage, Sagadagami, or once returner, the mental defilements, okay, they don't specifically eliminate any one particular thing. But one thing is, all these mental defilements, which are still remain in the Sotapanna, the first stream enterer, they were really just erased and erased and peel and peel and peel. Only the very, very lowest subtle form of mental defilements are left. And if you look at them, it seems like they are very pure. But still, there are some traces in them left. And once you got to that level, those people do not even want to wish to relate or stay much with what they have in an ordinary life. So they don't eliminate any specific thing, but all the mental defilements that still remain, just say that I don't see in the scripture, I'm just giving you an example. When you become a stream enterer, okay, false speech, you don't do that anymore. Okay, you don't lie, you don't, no harsh words, no rude words, and so on and so forth. Especially with full volition. The key thing is the volition. Sometimes you might be still screaming and yelling, you might be a Sotapanna, and sometimes you might have a shouting scream, yell at somebody, because it is not appropriate or not correct, or and so on and so forth. For a certain thing, but not out of malicious, not with the intent of hurt or harm, but just lose your cool and you shout it out. That kind of thing can happen. And sometimes one might still use white lies. White lies. White lie is not to hurt that person, not to harm that person, but still, in the strictest sense, just if you tell exactly as it is, it could hurt that person. Okay, because you don't want that to happen, you just dodge around and put a white lie. That Sotapanna still have the little white lies there. Again, I stress, I'm not quoting from the scripture. I'm just giving my interpretation. These kind of things still there. But when you got to the Sagadagami, these are hardly any. Okay, they will try to, most of the things that we do, all these mental defilements, only about traces remains, very little remain. Let's say about 5 or 10% remain. But still there, it still remains. That is the Sagadagami, second stage of noble person. And then over there too, when they go into the fruition, or you go into, let's say, simply put, meditation, they take Nibbana as an object. Sotapatti Magga, they take Nibbana as an object. Sakadagami, they take Nibbana as an object. But still, I think it is in a more deeper level of understanding of Nibbana, I presume. And then the third level is called Anagami. Okay, anagami, anagan. Anagam is the non-returner. Non-returner. What does non-returner means? That person, when you reach that stage, if he dies, he will not be reborn in the human world, or he will not be reborn in the Deva realm. In other words, he will not be reborn in any kind of sense realm. Okay? When they die, they will be reborn in the Brahman realm. If one die as the Anagami, when you die, it will be reborn in the Brahman realm. And in the Brahman realm too, according to the Buddhist cosmology, there are 20 different, okay, let's say it, kingdom, let's call it kingdom of Brahman realm. And one particular one is when Anagami passed away and when they are reborn, they are only reborn in the one specific Brahman realm. And in that Brahman realm they live, and Brahmas' lives are really long, we can't even comprehend it. They live, they practice, and eventually they became arahat, and when they die, they pass into Nibbana. So that is the Anagami, the non-returner. Non-returner to the sense realm, but reborn in the Brahman realm. In here, once you Anagami, what do they eliminate? Okay. What do they eliminate is all loba, any form of craving. Okay, craving and desire and grasping loba. And also all dosa, any form of anger, aversion, to the slightest like a little irritation, frustration. This loba and dosa is totally eliminated. And also moha is eliminated. But still there remains one thing. Completely is the dosa, the anger or aversion that is completely erased. And loba too, 99.999 erased, but still one remains. What it remains is they still cling onto existence. Okay? They still cling onto existence. That is the only mental defilements that remains. Okay? All dosa eliminated, all loba, almost all loba eliminated. That what it remains is just clinging to existence. And they are already enlightened. So that is the path. So once you reach that path, those kind of people, under any circumstances, you will not see any trace of aversion. It could be a human. And then, once they pass away as an Anagami, they will be reborn in the Brahmin realm. So that is the third noble person. And the final one is arahata. Arahata, arahan. Okay, arahan means one who has totally eliminated all loba, dosa, and moha, greed, anger, and delusion. That's arahan. That arahat could be, you can reach the sutra, the first noble person, this life, and you can even reach that arahat in this life, of course, if you practice. Okay? So in other words, there's no specific, once you become a noble person, it can be reached, it can be attained. And once you become an arahat, there's nothing left. All traces of desires are gone. All traces of anger, aversions are gone. All traces of delusion and illusion are gone. Only when you become arahata, you destroy the last remaining defilement. There's one left. In Anagami, there's a craving for existence, and still there's one thing, conceit, mana is still there. Mana in the sense of the way we understand it, it is something that they are very proud of the Dharma they have attained. Very proud of the Dharma they have attained, the pride and the Dharma they have attained. And only when you become a arhata, then conceit is abandoned. So don't underestimate the mental states or mental factor of conceit. One has to become arhata to finally abandon it. So we all have it, this conceit or mana. That's why when young people attained quite high and quite fast in the progress, that conceit come and take over, and they can drift away from the straight line. So that is arahata, one who has totally eliminated the all mental defilements. That's why one of the Buddha's quality or title is called Arahan, Arahat. He's also Arahat. And whoever has attained is called Arahat. It's one of his titles, Arahat is. What it means is one who has eliminated all mental defilements. And because of that, that person is worthy of respect from all living beings, from the human, from the deva, and from the dharma, from the brahma. Okay, they deserve the respect of all living beings. Human, devas, and brahma pay respect to arahats. So that is the final goal and final objective. And that is the direction we are going. You are already have the Sankharupa Kanyana, okay, which is insight into equanimity. And those are the goals. Never lose sight of the goals. And you practice and you practice and practice with that goal in mind, without abandoning the path, without abandoning your journey. At the times of Buddha, the goal is, everybody Buddha is pushing, the goal is arahata. That is the goal. But nowadays, after about 25, 26 century, our teachers and stuff, our goals are about the first noble person. If you achieve that first noble person, that level, one thing is, it's called you are saved. You are saved. Which means you will never be reborn in the full woeful state. If you remember, this human and deva and brahma realm, we are just visitors. We are taking a little vacation. Most of our time, our home is in a full woeful state. So once you become a sotapanna, you will never be reborn. In other words, you cannot call those full woeful state your place, your home. Your home is in the human realm or deva realm or brahman realm. You actually change your mailing address permanently. So nowadays, we all try, and our teachers always push everyone who are practicing seriously to reach to that first level, okay? That first level of Ariyaship, which is called Stream at Enterer or Soda Pati Mega. And with that in mind, we should strive and we should practice. So once you are practicing there, okay, there are things that we need to know. because we are now practicing. When we practice, there is two things it's said in the scripture. One is the practice has to be complete. One is the practice need to be complete, totally complete. The two is the teaching has also to be complete. If either one of them is not completed, you will not attain that goal. So as you are practicing, you are trying to complete your practice, of course. And here is two aspects if you want to attain that Ariyaship. The practice must be complete and the teaching must be complete. And what does it mean by the practice has to be complete and teaching has to be complete? Let's say a person has a great parami. Okay, for many lives, that person has practiced very, very strenuously and diligently, and he has the potential to become a Ariya in this life. He has fulfilled all the requirements. In this life, he can become a Ariya. In other words, he has a lot of parami. In other words, he has perfected his practices. Now he got to this life. Even with that caliber and with that quality and with that potential, if that person does not practice in this life, he will not achieve it. It is not automatically given. He has all the potential. He has everything. But if he doesn't practice, he will not attain that Ariyaship and he will die as a Putujana, ordinary worldling. That means he hasn't completed his practice yet. One must practice. Even if you have everything, if you don't do that, you will not achieve it. It is not automatic going on. That is the practice. And also, it's in the scripture, it's coded. What it means is, there's a in a district of Sampa, okay, there's a Pisa. The person name is Pisa. And the teacher is I'm not quite sure, it sounds like Dandaraka. Okay. So that's a teacher and Pisa is a student. They are not Buddhists, but that Pisa is learning from there. And they have their own belief and their own work and they were following, okay, and searching for eliminating the suffering. And they came across to the Buddha and they were listening. And Buddha's given them a Dharma talk. And when they were giving a Dharma talk, what happened is they were listening and then the Buddha has finished the general presentation or introduction line, but they have to go into the deeper level to explain. At that moment, the teacher and the student both, oh, you're listening, oh, sounds okay, but Lord Buddha, forgive us, we are these ordinary people, we have so many things to do, okay, so many business to attend, we won't be able to stay till to the end. That's just making a polite excuse, they are not interested, and they leave. When they leave, of course, the Buddha keep on talking about the Dharma talk. And then at the end, the Buddha said, those two, you remember? The student, Pisa, if he had listened to this Dharma talk till to the end and contemplate, he could become the Sotapanna, the first dream winner. But he doesn't, okay, complete it, listen to the teachings. That's one example in the scriptures given. Location, people's name identification, and the sutta that is related to it. Didn't listen to the teachings completely. That's why that person didn't attain it. And another example is, we have talked about that before. I will recall that in a very brief level. If you remember, Buddha and all his disciples are living in a Veluana garden. And then there's a Shinsariputra, his right-hand disciple. And Shinsariputra, very close friend, he's a Brahmin. He was about to die, and he thought about the Buddha and his friend. He was still a Brahmin, but he has a great respect for these two. So he asked, okay, he's dying, go and ask whether Buddha can come. It's great also. If not, his friend can come, great. Both can come, great. He's dying. So the Buddha has engagement. So Shinsariputra went there, and he saw his friend, and he teach. And his dying bed, he taught the Dharma. The way he said is, he just look at it. They look at it, and he look at it and see, how can I teach him at his last dying moments and quotes. And then he asks a series of questions. What do you think? Which one is better, to be reborn in hell or to be reborn as animal? Oh, animal better. Or to be reborn as an animal or to be reborn as demon? Of course, demon is better. How about to be reborn in a full woeful state or in human existence? Oh, human existence is better. And then how about be reborn as a human or reborn as a deva? Oh, deva is better. And then he said, how about reborn in a deva realm and reborn in a Brahmin realm? And then he said, of course, Brahmin realm, because they believe that Brahma is the highest beings. And that the mind's really inclined to that Brahmin realm. Okay, because that is how Shinsariputra dragged his mind with cause and effect, cause amount and comparison. And as soon as his mind is inclined to that, then Shinsariputra draws his mind to that. To be reborn in the Brahmin realm, to become a Brahma, what do you need? Full noble's abiding. In other words, loving kindness, compassion, sympathetic joy, and equanimity. Draw his mind to that and then put him into that loving-kindness mode. And the friend practiced loving-kindness mode and passed away. And he thought, okay, his mind is settled now. And since Sariputra went away, he died. And when, as you have already heard it, got to the monastery, and then Buddha knew about it and asked, he said, now, because you haven't completed the teaching, your friend, your ex-friend, is now reborn in the lowly Brahma realm. That is the word used, lowly Brahma realm. And then Shinsariputra realized he doesn't teach the final step, how to escape from all form of suffering, vipassana. So it's said he actually followed the Brahma realm, and he taught us that Brahma, who was his friend at human realm. That is another example of not completing the teachings. And if you don't complete the teachings, you cannot attain it, regardless how much you have potential to go. So, in here, we have been talking for about 40, 50 weeks, and before that about 12, 16 weeks from the beginner class. And throughout there, if you look at a series, starting from what is meditation and how to do sitting meditation, so in a series of these about 40, 50, 60 Dharma talks, If you really tracked it, okay, from the beginning, how to take precepts, how to reframe yourself from evil things, and up to the point of practicing Satipatthana Vipassana through stages of insight, and here we are, right near to the goal. Our teachers and our teachers' teachers and sages of time have set us and give us in such a way it is complete. Okay? The teaching is complete. So with you, the teachings to attain Nibbana, it's in your hand now. The teachings, the knowledge, okay? The lectures, they are complete. So we cannot say that the teaching is not complete. In other words, you have 50% of the requirement is in your hand. As detailed as possible, because all the wise men and sages and all the Ariyas throughout 26 centuries have put a perfect package and give it to us, and we are learning from that. And that package, what we have talked about, 60 hours of Dharma, is complete to attain Nibbana. Okay? We don't know the whole Tripitaka, of course, but as far as the practical work is concerned, and with some theories explaining what we are doing, we are ready and we have the tools in our hand 100%. 50% of our requirement is there. That is one. That is, the teachings is complete. Now the practice. In the practice, there is one thing it mentioned around with it, one thing it needs to. It is, you can find it right at the onset of the beginning of Buddha's teaching. Okay. And Mingala Sutta, if you remember, okay, the blessing. It is the whole spectrum of how to live a life from A to Z to attain to Nibbana. And in A, square one, what does it, Buddha said? Avoid the fools associated with the wise. That is the first word the Buddhists taught us. Avoid the fools. Avoid the bad guys. Avoid the rotten scoundrels. That's the first word. That is very important. And we'll hear many times again and again that word. And here one example, I think I have sat down the line a few times about it in the scripture. It is the story of Ajatasa. Okay. I think in English, Ajatasutta, I think. Ajatasa. That is the prince, the son of Bhimisara. Bhimisara is the king at the time of Buddha. And also, Buddha has his, one of his kanzen is in his order, and his name is Devadatta, and that Devadatta is like a concentration meditation, so strong and powerful, he got psychical power, but he doesn't have the insight into Dharma, so he's not an Arya. But he has a great psychical power, and he is also a monk. And he tried to assassinate Buddha, and those are the one story, of course, many times. But when Ajatasattu, he came with his father to the monastery to see the Buddha, and, you know, young kids, you go around here and there, and he met this Devadatta, and he was really impressed with the psychical power. So he followed Devadatta. To make the long story short, Devadatta, he tried to assassinate Buddhas because he wants to take Buddha's position. And the same thing, he just put that prince, okay, kill your father now. Why do you want to wait another 30, 40, 50 years to become a king? If you kill him, you can become a king fast enough. Now, I put it very crudely. The story is a lot more delicate. And he killed his father, but at one time when the Devadatta was, because of all his evil deeds, at one point the earthquake, when the earthquake, the earth cracked and he just fell down into the crack and he died, that Devadatta. And after that, this Ajatasattu, the prince, become really great remorse of what he has done. And he become one of the highest devotee, one of the great devotees of Buddha, and donate a lot for the sasana. But one thing is, even though he does all those things, because of his killing of his own father, okay, he cannot attain anything. He practice, he follow everything, and at one point, the Buddha said to his father, that's called Samapalapa Sutta. Okay. And he said that Ajatasattu, after listening to that sutra, has the potential to become an Ariya. But because he had killed his father, he cannot. And after he died, he is reborn in the hell's realm. So what it is, even though you might have a great potential and great parami, in this life, in this time, if you fall into the wrong crowd, you could be circling in the cycle of birth and death for indefinite amount of times. Be very, very careful about the crowd you hang out. Papa metta. Okay, papa is mean bad. Metta is friend, bad friend. Okay, that is a very good pointer. Even though you have great parami, you can still slip away and go right back down to the lowest level. So that's one. And as far as the practice is concerned, okay, we are right here and right now. We have all the tools that we need as far as the teachings are concerned. You practice, and especially once you have reached to the stage of insight into equanimity. Okay, don't get sidetracked. Don't just relax, press on till you achieve or attain the goal. And how do we do that? In short, this is the point that you got the insight of Sankarupa Kanyana and you practice. You practice and you practice and you practice till to the point of you master all the series of jnana. Okay. It is not written in the scripture, but I'll put it in a very crude way. You said, now you are very well endowed, your concentration highs. I'm going to experience the nama rupa paricheda jnana. Okay. In other words, everything that you do, you incline your mind to see the discriminative awareness of mind and matter, because your concentration power is very strong. What is concentration power? Concentration power is the will. And will and the inclination of mind together, you can experience any aspect of the insights that you have previously experienced and passed. So you can go into one, get out of one, go into four, get out of four, go into six, get out of six. That kind of thing. You practice and you practice and you try to hone your skill. You try to hone your skill. And eventually you can adapt yourself to any level, okay, as the mind inclined to. Not losing the sights of anicca, dukkha, and anatta, impermanence, sufferings, and non-self. And in that way, you are preparing yourself. You are adapting yourself to the stage that is going to come, which is ariya. In other words, you are making yourself. In other words, you become the mastery of everything that you have learned, everything you have experienced. Before, you have passed it. Passing is one thing, mastery is another. Everybody can graduate from the university, but some excel a lot better than the other. Some knows how to apply better than the other. That kind of mastery is called adaptation. Okay? Insight into adaptation. Adapt to what? Adapt to the world that is going to come, which is ariyaship. And the next one is the passing of the threshold. But next week we will complete this insight levels and the attainment of ariya domain. With that, we'll conclude today. May all of you be able to practice Satipatthana Vipassana meditation, and may you be able to see yourself through till to the end of the journey as soon as possible. Sadhu, 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 buddham bhujemi, dhammam bhujemi, sangham bhujemi.